greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We had quite a weekend at Denver Bible Church. We went to an abortionist home for Thanksgiving and then went to three Walmarts as part of a national protest and boycott against Walmart. And I want to tell you about those things. But before I do, remember Al Gore's global warming fantasy film? Remember that movie Al Gore made, An Inconvenient, what did he call it? An Inconvenient Falsehood? An Inconvenient Truth? That in that film, he claimed that hurricanes were caused by global warming. Well, today, the news off the Drudge Report online is this, that with cataclysmic predictions for this year that hurricanes would swarm from the tropics like termites, no one thought 2006 would be the most tranquil hurricane season in a decade, but it has been. The season, the hurricane season, ends Thursday, and we've only had 9 named storms. You know how they name the storms Frederick and Bartholomew or whatever. Well, we've had 9 of them, and none of those have been like the more powerful hurricanes that we know all too well. This year is the first season since 1997 that only one storm nudged its way into the Gulf of Mexico. Now, Al Gore's movie on global warming, An Inconvenient Truth, it opens with scenes from Hurricane Katrina slamming into New Orleans. And Al Gore says, the former vice president, the end-of-the-world prophet Al Gore, he says unequivocally as the movie opens that because of global warming, it is all but certain that future hurricanes will be more violent and destructive than those in the past. So the predictions were in 2006, we'd have about 10 hurricanes, and half of those would be major hurricanes because of global warming and all the global warming hype. There are other reasons too, but that was the reason Al Gore jumped on board. Instead, there were what? Half of that number? And there were no Category 4 or 5 storms for the year. Not one. Only Category 3 or less for the first time since 1997. So, the Washington Times had a news report last spring, right before the hurricane season started. And let me read to you. They reported with some skepticism, to their credit. This is what they wrote. With the official start of hurricane season days away, meteorologists are unanimous that the 2006 tropical storm season, which runs from June 1st through November, is likely to be a doozy. I don't know if that's a technical term, a doozy. But with all the hurricane damage that had occurred and the loss of life, and then the global warming hype, how easy is it to put together the hype with the latest news and have Al Gore stand on a movie screen and say the hurricanes are because of global warming? And so then the Washington Times quoted the chairwoman of Georgia Tech School of Atmospheric Sciences. Her name is Judith Curry. And she said Al Gore's statement in his movie Inconvenient Truth is that we can expect more storms like Katrina in a greenhouse-warmed world. I would agree with this. So anyway, apparently global warming has been getting warmer. The world has been getting warmer, so they say. And that should create increasingly powerful hurricanes. But this is the most tranquil season in a decade. Isn't that too bad for Al Gore? I mean, he would have just loved it if we had 2 or 3 really wallop the Gulf Coast. That would have been great for everyone panicking over global warming. So we reported on the story last week that the ice sheets in Antarctica that are supposedly melting and they're going to raise global sea levels and they're going to flood low-lying islands and coastal lands around the world, the most recent real-world data for the last decade is that the Antarctic ice sheets are increasing in size, that they are significantly increasing, thickening, and so sea levels would be decreasing, not increasing, as a result of melting in the Antarctic. It's actually the opposite based on real-world measurements of the last 10 years, of the latest previous 10-year period up to 2003. When we come to the point when everybody realizes that global warming was just an end-of-the-world doomsday scam of the left, when we come to that point, remember, you heard it here, without equivocation, that the sun warms the earth. The sun warms the earth, and there's no reason to panic about man warming the earth, global warming. Okay. All right, what else? We had a great weekend. Aside from celebrating Thanksgiving, which was a real joy, we had a wonderful church service yesterday, and our Sunday night Bible study, we're through Acts chapter 27, Paul's shipwreck in the Mediterranean. That was a trip, I'll tell you that. So we survived Paul's shipwreck, and we're almost done with the book of Acts on Sunday nights at Denver Bible Church. Sunday morning, we had a wonderful service, and we gave people a bit of an update that we went to an abortionist home Thanksgiving morning. And we do that on the holidays. This was our holiday home visit to an abortionist, and Edward Patrick O'Loughlin is his name, and he kills babies at Denver's Planned Parenthood Clinic at 20th and Vine. So we go to his home, and we went, like we often do, we had a friend, a listener to the show, come down from Wyoming to join us. So there were about 15 people, and there were three police cars, which we always welcome the police, and we often will call them and let them know we'll be there. And they like to come and add to the circus-like atmosphere of the event, which is helpful. And in this particular county, Arapahoe County, suburb of Denver, they passed a law that says if you're protesting in a residential neighborhood, you're not allowed to carry signs larger than 3 square feet. Now, that law could easily be overturned because other laws like it have not been upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court, but we haven't had the time or money to appeal that. But that's okay. There's ways to get around. Human beings are very creative, right? So the law, they had a lawyer write it, of course, or a team of lawyers. And they say, you can't carry a large sign. You can't hang it on your body. You can't have the front and back of the sign be two different signs. You can't wear a sign on your clothing in addition to the sign you're carrying. Well, they forgot about trucks. They forgot to mention trucks. So we bring the truth truck that has signs that are, what, 100 square feet? I don't know how big they are. They're huge. Huge signs. You can see them from 2 blocks away. So we have the truth truck, massive signs, and we have our abortion kills kids signs. And we walked through the neighborhood, and we actually got a couple thumbs up, which is very rare in a neighborhood. You almost never get that. Usually, you get migrating birds. That's what you'd normally get. But we actually got a couple thumbs up, which was pretty neat. And we are there our goal is not to convince the abortionist to quit. I mean, that would be wonderful, but that's not a realistic goal. You could do it for that reason anyway, but it's not likely you'll achieve that goal. Our goal is to make sure that medical school students know that if they become abortionists, they will have crazy people at their homes Christmas morning and Thanksgiving morning and Easter, Resurrection Sunday, and Mother's Day, and July 4th. So we've been doing this for well over 10 years. What are we going on, 15 years at the abortionist home? And there's a second reason also, so that there is no child killing with tranquility on our watch. If they're going to be killing kids, we're going to make it as difficult for them as we possibly can. All right? Oh, and the the friend who came down from Wyoming, first time we ever met this gentleman, he heard it on the radio show and came down. He didn't know why they had this law in this particular county that you could only carry these small signs. And so I explained the story to him, and I thought I would remind the audience, especially for our newer listeners, that a few years back, we were in this cul-de-sac in Arapahoe County, and it was a July 4th. We were having basically a picnic. Even though we were protesting, it's July 4th. So the kids were doing frisbee tosses, and we were having foot races in the cul-de-sac. And we had a barbecue grill, and we were making hot dogs, sausages, cheeseburgers. And we had, you know those, if you go watch a Broncos game, the vendors will wear these over their shoulders, the straps and the trays to hold drinks and hot dogs. Well, we had some of those. Actually, the ones from Mile High Stadium in Vesco Field, because the guy who helped manage the stadiums in Colorado, he knew we were going to have this barbecue, and he said, well, how would you like some of the vendor get-ups? So we said, sure, that'd be great. So he loaned us some of those. We got them back to the Broncos for the next game, you know, start in August, preseason. But anyway, we used those, and we were having just the greatest time, really a good time, making sure that they're not killing children with tranquility. Well, the abortionist, Ed's neighbor, has a girlfriend. They live together. What is her name? The police blacked out her name on the reports. But it's funny. They use a magic marker. You just read through it. Her name was Leanne Dexter. So Leanne Dexter comes driving into the cul-de-sac. And here we are, frisbee tosses. I'm pushing one of our little boys in a stroller. And she speeds up. And she uses her car basically as a weapon and veers toward us to scare us. And boy, did she scare us. I practically threw the stroller. I was pushing my son. I was crossing the cul-de-sac. Practically threw it into a parked car to avoid her car hitting us. So, and she squealed her wheels. She went into her driveway and went into her house. And I immediately called 911. So Arapahoe County Sheriff's deputies came out, and they didn't talk to us. We gave the address, which is common, you know. Pro-lifers make a complaint, the police come, and they talk to the perpetrator. I mean, that's weird, but that's what they do. They didn't talk to us. They went and talked to her. And so they came out of talking to Leanne Dexter, and they came to me, and I told them what happened, and they said, well, your story matches her story. She told us the same story. So we're going to charge her with vehicular threatening. So we thought, wow, that's a surprise. Actual justice for pro-life protesters. So we were happy about that. And Monday morning, Pat Sullivan, the sheriff of Arapahoe County, he issued a press release, and he described this story, and he said he dropped the charges against the woman. Now, what grounds did he have to drop the charges? The only grounds were that we were pro-life protesters, and he didn't like the fact that we were exercising our free speech rights to be there in that neighborhood. So he basically gave her a pass, open season on pro-lifers. So what could we do? We're not in government. We don't have authority. So we held court. We held our own court. We had trial in that cul-de-sac the next Saturday, and I was the judge. It was fun. You know, fantasy football, fantasy justice. So I'm the judge, and we were charged with incompetent protesting. And we heard the evidence, and I found our group guilty of incompetent protesting, and I sentenced everyone to 100 hours of community service, learning how to be better protesters in that cul-de-sac. That's when the lid blew off the thing. It became a cauldron. The tension, the friction, the social unrest, it was unbelievable. That neighborhood, now we were just peaceful pro-life protesters, but it became a war zone, that neighborhood. because to do 100 hours, we could no longer go just every holiday, 8 days a year. We had to go every weekend. So we started going every weekend, and then counter-protesters started showing up. And when you get counter-protesters against pro-lifers, you get the total freaks come out of the woodwork. You get the lesbians who are kissing each other in the street. You get the Wiccans, the witches. You get the, you know, the college riffraff. So everybody came out of the woodwork, and the protest became extremely tense. It seemed like some of the neighbors were going to shoot somebody. I mean, it was intense. So the city council members, after we worked off maybe 60 or 70 hours of our community service, the city council members of Arapahoe County decided that they were going to pass a law, and they had a public hearing. And the law was that you couldn't stand in front of a residence if you're protesting. You have to walk 666 feet before you could come back. So actually, when they passed the law, they finalized it, they abbreviated it. The law actually says you have to walk 660 feet. I was sure that they meant 666 feet, but it ended up 660 feet. And you could only carry these small signs 3 square feet. That's it. So, okay, we testified at the hearing, and it was a bit of a trip. You know, we actually said that we would promise never to go to that neighborhood again, ever. We gave the county commissioners, in front of about 100 neighbors, we gave them our word that we would never go to that neighborhood again if they changed their initiative, the law that they passed, and if they said this, if they said targeted residential protesting appears to be stalking, and therefore we prohibit targeted residential protesting in Arapahoe County. Because we said, actually, we think this is absurd that the government allows children to be killed and allows people to go into the neighborhood and protest residences. That's like stalking. What if some guy wanted to date a gal who works at a movie theater and she said no? What, is he allowed to go protest at her home? It's like stalking. So we said, if you pass this law and say it's stalking, we will never, ever come back to this neighborhood or protest that abortionist ever again. And they wouldn't do it. They said, oh, you're just saying that, and then you'll appeal it. And we said, no, we won't appeal it. And if somebody else appeals it and overturns it, we'll still abide by it. We will never come back to that neighborhood. So we're just trying to demonstrate that the laws are broken and that our governing officials, they don't know right from wrong. So it's legal to protest at an abortionist home, and we will use the law, we'll do what is legal to make sure that child killing doesn't happen with tranquility on our watch. So they passed that law, and so Saturday morning the media shows up, TV cameras, local news, and we came out there. We're only allowed to have signs that are like 1.7 feet by 1.7 feet, 3 square feet. You know, if you have an octagonal sign, like a stop sign, it's interesting to see the cops try to figure out, well, what's the square foot of that thing? You know, they can't figure that out. But anyway, we showed up in front of the media and probably 7 or 8 cop cars with the biggest sign we had ever had in history. This sign was 150 feet long. And I remember the TV cameras panning it and showing it on TV. What it was each person held a sign that was only one letter. And when you put all the letters together, they said abortion kills kids. And the people stood about 10 feet apart. The sign went for 2 blocks or something. It was a massive sign. Abortion kills kids. And it was very powerful. And so now we bring in a truck with 100 square foot signs. And we still go. So that people know, don't get into the abortion business. You'll have a bunch of wackos outside your home Christmas morning, right when you don't want to see any wackos. So it doesn't do much for the reputation of the pro-lifers, but it helps convince thousands of med students, don't become an abortionist. Why don't you get into, say, dermatology or something? Let's go to the phones in Denver. Our phone number, 800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. David, welcome to Bob and Yart Live.
Hi, Bob. I'm a big fan.
Thank you, sir.
And I appreciate all the work you're doing.
Thanks so much.
I just wanted to check in with you, see if you're for or against the draft.
Well, all right. Right now, the draft is being proposed by liberals, thinking that it will turn people against the war on terror or the war in Iraq or war in general. And liberals are known to miscalculate, just like when they want to televise an execution, and they think that that would turn people away from the death penalty, but actually it has the exact opposite effect, and it solidifies people's support for the death penalty. So the reason that these liberals are advocating the draft is political, and it's destructive. But David, I'm sure you're asking me about the draft in principle.
Yeah, morally, correct.
Yeah, morally. Well, that issue, you know, I've thought a lot for 30 years about government and biblical principles, and the draft is not an issue that I've ever taken a public stand on. And so now that you're asking me directly, I think what I need to do is go over my material on the principles of governance out of the Bible and figure out if God addresses that topic. Certainly with Israel, they effectively had a draft. They had a draft, the nation was being threatened, and they conscripted, they called up the forces from the different tribes, and they went to war. And so my gut reaction would be that a draft would be moral, but I'd like to think it through before I put it down in ink on paper.
Sounds great, Bob. I can't wait for you to come up with that answer.
All right. And you know what we'll do, David? We will put it on our website at shadowgov.com.
Great. Thanks, Bob.
Okay. God bless you. I appreciate that. Again, our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. So there are regulations, practices in the Bible that are not applicable today. And that's for various reasons. One of the main reasons is that God had a national covenant with Israel. He had a national covenant with Israel. And to enter into that covenant, for example, male children were circumcised at 8 days of age. Now, God today does not have a national covenant with America, with Canada, with Germany. His covenant today is a covenant with the body of Christ. And you enter into that covenant not because you're born to a certain family or you're born in a certain nation or because you're circumcised or, for that matter, not even if you're baptized. But when you as an individual trust in Jesus Christ, then you enter into that covenant with God. And so we read in the book of Hebrews that the laws have changed. The laws have changed. In fact, what it says is when there is a change in the priesthood, the national covenant with Israel had the Levitical tribe and the priesthood of the sons of Aaron. And the book of Hebrews in the New Testament recognizes that that all changed with Jesus Christ. And it says when there is a change in the priesthood, of necessity there's a change in the law. So the rules have changed in the Bible. The rules have changed, and we need to understand what the rules, the laws, the regulations were, and how have they changed, why have they changed, and then apply those principles to today. That's what we need to do if we want to give our opinion on public policy and do it in a responsible way. So, David, thank you very much for that question, and we'll get an answer up in shadowgov.com on the Constitution tab. There's a Constitution up there proposed New Constitution for America. Pretty interesting reading. And we'll get it up there. Okay. Now, we went to the abortionist home visit. It went very well. The abortionist home, Edward Patrick O'Loughlin, his wife Kate came out. And she likes to come out just to let the protesters know that she's fearless. So she comes out, and that's, you know, wave to her. So we're there to make sure that med students know that the abortion business is not a preferred industry for them to get into. Okay, then we also went to three Walmarts as part of the national call for Christians to protest and boycott Walmart. We went to three, and the protest went well. We had fabulous signs, large signs that said, Walmart dumps values. I mean, I challenge you to come up with fewer letters to make the point. Walmart dumps values. And that's like double entendre. That has multiple meanings. Like values, good shopping values for customers, but also family values. And Walmart has been in the news with the boycott from the AFA, Don Wildman, for supporting the group that is the number one effort against marriage in America, the National Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce. They spearhead the effort against marriage between one man and one woman, and Walmart has been supporting them, and they've been selling the abortion pill, Plan B, the morning after pill. So Walmart dumps values. We had way more positive responses than negative. I would say 90% to 10%, 90% positive. And even some Walmart employees would come by and ask, why were we there? I'd give them a flyer. Some of them would ask for multiple flyers. And it was pretty neat. Now, Black Friday, that's when we were out there, the shopping day after Thanksgiving. Consumer spending is about, what, two-thirds of the U.S. economy? And holiday revenue is, what, about a third of retailers' revenue, Walmart's revenue? And so Walmart came out after a hugely successful Black Friday. Walmart announced that their same-store sales were down from a year earlier, which is contrary to the rest of the industry. That's pretty interesting. So who knows why, but hey, Maranatha Christian Center, the best Christian school I've ever seen. Check them out, Maranatha.